On this week's On the Media, groups pushing for fewer controls on firearms are weighing in on coronavirus restrictions. Why?
At the end of the day, gun rights is not about hunting. It's about a response to tyrannical government.
Politics, plain and simple, is the adjudication of power, okay? It's who rules whom. Simple as that.
The Second Amendment is very clear. Shall not be infringed. Period.
If Wayne LaPierre is going to get $20,000 Armani suits from Beverly Hills, they can pay some legal fees.
I know how many times I've been asked by media outlets, don't you guys do guns? What's your big deal on this coronavirus issue? Why don't you stay in your lane? And I have had so much enjoyment telling media outlets all across the country that, you know, our lane is freedom. We just don't give a dang.
A deep dive into the no-compromise gun rights movement after this.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. On November 3rd, the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, Inc. v. Bruin, the case that could provoke the most significant update to gun laws since District of Columbia v. Heller in 2008. In that landmark hearing, the court upheld the interpretation of the Second Amendment as protecting an individual right to own a gun for personal self-defense. Bruin challenges a century-old New York state law requiring anyone who seeks to publicly carry a handgun to show, quote, proper cause before they can get a license to do so. If those restrictions are rolled back, cities will be forced to respect the same permissive gun rules that we already see in rural and conservative areas of the country. All this, of course, will be music to the ears of many, many gun groups around the country who've been pushing for just this kind of legislation. To dig deeper into the world of gun rights activists, I'm handing over the hour to NPR reporters Chris Haxel and Lisa Hagen. In the run-up to the 2020 elections, they produced a Pulitzer Prize-winning podcast called No Compromise, in which they documented the growing rifts in the gun rights world.
Wonderful. Defiance and tyranny is so alive and well in the great Keystone State.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Thousands of people are protesting outside the state capitol. Coronavirus has been disrupting American life and killing people for almost 2 months. The governor here has ordered Pennsylvanians to stay home. Businesses are closed, hospitals are packed, but Americans are stubborn people.
To all the haters who are watching the page right now, I hope this display of American love for freedom triggers all of you.
Chris Doerr started a Facebook page called Pennsylvanians Against Excessive Quarantine, and 60,000 people joined almost instantly.
Folks, this whole Facebook page was started in order to get people to start fighting back against these tyrannical moves that Governor Wolf has been foisting upon the people of Pennsylvania. And I gotta tell you, I was at the Ohio rally.
Chris Doerr doesn't actually live in Pennsylvania. He just started a Facebook page there. He also launched Ohioans Against Excessive Quarantine.
Two of his brothers are in on it, too. They started Reopen Minnesota and Wisconsinites Against Excessive Quarantine. In just a couple weeks, each Facebook group had tens of thousands of followers, spawning state rallies of their very own.
Days after the Pennsylvania rally, the brothers post another video, this time with some buddies. They've got near-identical banners behind them. A grainy image of someone aiming a tactical rifle.
Government and media never, ever, ever give back your rights without an absolute bloodbath fight. And that's what we're facing here, guys.
These aren't just random guys who don't like the government telling them what to do. These are seasoned gun rights activists.
You might be thinking, what could the Second Amendment possibly have to do with a pandemic? And you wouldn't be the only one.
I know how many times in the last couple of days I've been asked by media outlets, well, don't you guys do guns? Like, what's your big deal on this coronavirus issue? Why don't you stay in your lane? And I have had so much enjoyment telling media outlets all across the country that, you know, our lane is freedom. We just don't give a dang.
That's Aaron Dorr, Chris's brother. The story of Americans protesting public health orders made headlines all over the world.
The reports read like there was some kind of network of conservative activists secretly engineering what looked like organic grassroots protests. And the brothers were having a great time with that idea.
I told that idiot reporter, they're like, are you guys being financed by the Koch brothers? I said, oh, no, no. You must have me mistaken. We're not the Koch brothers. All of America is Dorr brothers. And my goodness, we just want to get this country back.
Ordinarily, state-level gun rights groups can seem like small potatoes compared to the National Rifle Association, which most people think of as the gun lobby.
But the truth is, there's a rift in the gun world, and it's growing. So we wanted to know why. When did so many gun owners start thinking the National Rifle Association is soft on guns? That NRA stands for Negotiating Rights Away. The Dorr brothers are part of a gun movement that's fundamentally distrustful of centralized government. It's the heart of what we're gonna call the no compromise philosophy.
At the end of the day, gun rights is not about hunting, it's not about sports shooting, it's about a response to tyrannical government.
After Aaron started the first group, Iowa Gun Owners, his brothers joined it, along with a couple friends, Patrick Parsons and Greg Pruitt. These five guys now run operations in about a dozen states, and they are always hustling to keep those audiences interested and donating.
To do that, they need content. That's why back in January of 2020, they and 20,000 other gun rights activists gathered in Richmond, Virginia, to protest Democratic Governor Ralph Northam's sweeping new gun control legislation.
Thousands of people are watching live. It's a pro-gun bonanza that the brothers can turn into a flood of content for weeks. Videos, articles, memes, many of them identical and posted simultaneously across their network of Facebook pages. Which is great if you're pro-gun and stuck at home. See, if you care about this rally, you could watch CNN.
Ahead of today's demonstration, the governor declared a state of emergency and banned all weapons on Capitol ground. But outside that secured area, many demonstrators were heavily armed. Look at them. They look like soldiers there.
Or you can skip the media.
Beautiful patriots.
And watch Facebook.
Look at them. This is what keeps governments at bay. It's what keeps tyrants at bay. It's what keeps criminals at bay right here. We love it.
A guided tour from people you trust for 5 minutes or 5 hours.
You've got the fake news media, helicopters and stuff flying around. They'll probably do here today what they do at Trump rallies.
Yeah, hundreds of people showed up.
Hundreds of people. And then they'll show some video clips from 4:30 this morning.
Now, if you're a Missourian watching, say, the Missouri Firearms Coalition page, you think, look at our hometown guy on the ground. Aaron's giving me a tailored virtual experience.
We know how insane guys like Peter Meredith are, all the rest of these people in the Capitol, the Jill Shoups, these radical nutjob socialist idiots who want to disarm us.
But he does that for Iowans too.
Well, if they ever had the votes to do it in Iowa, they would do it. They would do it. And that's the lesson here today.
Now, the Dorr brothers and their friends aren't the only gun rights group with this no compromise philosophy. We found active organizations in 36 states. Some are independent, others are part of Dorr-style networks.
Sign up right now for Frontline Defender program. You'll be automatically entered to win this giveaway.
Or donate to this case, you can do so with the link on the screen.
The $10 a month program. After the third month, you get a unique hat. You can't just buy this hat, right? You have to be a Liberty member to get the hat.
These brothers are just one faction in a whole anti-NRA movement. But they get a lot of people talking. And the more we heard, the more we realized. The story of the Dorrs might help explain what's changing about gun culture and America.
Coming up, Lisa and Chris travel to meet some of the Dorr brothers' supporters. This is On the Media.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. This hour, we're airing an extended excerpt of the NPR series, No Compromise. Here's co-host Chris Haxel.
To really understand people who want no gun regulations at all, what we're calling the no-compromise gun rights movement, we can't just focus on its leaders. We got to meet some followers, right?
To do that, I drove down to Coweta County, Georgia, about 40 miles out of Atlanta, headed toward Alabama, to a brown house at the end of a windy road.
So like I said, my house is very plain.
As I step inside Carolyn Ricker's house, my eye immediately gets drawn to this...
Ooh, look at all...
pegboard covered in spools of different colored thread. Beautiful little workplace.
Are you the sewer?
Yes. This is where she comes when everyone in her family leaves for work, to pull up Facebook.
You know, I'll be doing something by hand and then I'll have to pause it while I take a seam and then I knit a few rounds, I shoot a few rounds.
Between stitches. That's how she watches her live videos.
And it's just fun because we're all part of this community. It's like pulling up your hot chocolate and sitting down, okay. We're here together, you know. And you have that sense of community.
Videos like this.
Hollywood left-wing Democrats who hate your guts and hate my guts, who want to kill babies, eat them for dinner, and then choke down one of your AR-15s and steal it from you.
This is the Doar Brothers partner in Georgia, Patrick Parsons.
He's obnoxious, and I say that in a kind way.
Parsons runs Carolyn's local no-compromise group, Georgia Gun Owners.
The NRA is selling you out.
Patrick typically puts out a few videos a week. Carolyn says she tries to keep up with all of them.
On average, that's about 2.5 hours a week.
Spent stitching and listening.
They all want tyranny over your rights, your God-given right to defend yourself and your family.
Listening and stitching.
We need to go for the kill now. Get the government out of the gun business now. Lead out.
In almost every one of these gun videos on Facebook, there's a point where the guys do shout outs.
Stuart is here. The great Johnny Lowe is here from McDuffie, Georgia. Bill
is
here.
It's like a ritual. Reminds me of that moment in church where everyone greets each other.
Okay. There's Al in Cobbtown, Jim in Rome, Max, nice shirt. Brian.
Each video is usually dedicated to a main topic, some liberal attack or Republican betrayal.
There are nasty, moderate, anti-gun Republicans lurching around. They are going to dump you and your Second Amendment rights in a grave and keep their power.
Doesn't have to be a local issue.
We are talking the Mexican murder rate. This is information you will not hear on fake news, CNN, MSNBC, and most of the time Fox News.
Just something that gets that blood up.
You are a slave to government. That's what you love, and that's what you're ultimately.
And if you're into the no-compromise gun rights fight, nothing gets the blood up quite like the National Rifle Association.
A lot of people say, well, you guys are dividing the gun movement. But remember, NRA with Wayne LaPierre, they have decades now of financial impropriety. This is just...
The last couple of years have been bad for the NRA. Investigations, public infighting, and all kinds of stories about big boss Wayne LaPierre spending money on himself.
Italian patent leather shoes, probably made for him specifically on some freaking, you know, cow over in Italy or something.
Carolyn Ricker, our Coweta County mom, used to be a member.
They got my $105 for a 3-year membership, and they're not getting another dime. And I am not contributing to their legal fund. Because if Wayne LaPierre is going to get $20,000 Armani suits from Beverly Hills, they can pay some legal fees.
Let's get a quick fact check out of the way, because we're going to hear about these suits a lot. According to leaked NRA documents, LaPierre spent $39,000 in a single day at a Beverly Hills menswear boutique. Couldn't tell you if that was just one suit or some cufflinks or what. The point is, he makes and spends a whole lot of money running what's supposed to be a nonprofit.
And either way, custom suits aren't what drove Carolyn away from the NRA. Parkland was.
In yet another American town, which today became the site of yet another deadly school shooting.
A high school shooting in a Florida suburb, where an expelled student shot and killed 17 people. The whole country reacted.
Enough is enough. That was the message from waves of high school students across the country today as they poured out of schools, across football fields, and into the streets to demand action on gun violence.
All the outcry brought attention to this one policy, red flag laws. The idea that if someone might be about to harm themselves or someone else, there should be a way to take their guns until they're better.
To literally give families and give local law enforcement additional tools.
That's Mike Pence at the White House in 2018, just after the shooting.
But the ability to go to court, obtain an order, and then collect not only the firearms, but any weapons.
It felt like a rare moment of possibility for supporters of gun control.
And a really jarring time for folks like Carolyn. So she's seeing all this talk about new gun regulation and thinking, what is going on with the NRA?
I emailed them, and I got nothing back. I said, "What? Tell me about these red flag laws. What are?" There was nothing on their site. There was nothing. They just went dark. And I never got a satisfactory answer back. And so when they called for a fundraiser to get more money, I said, "Here's the message. And you can give this to Mr. LaPierre. When you are ready to fill my inbox with angry tirades and reasons why we shouldn't have red flag laws, then I will listen. And I will be happy to continue to support you. And until that happens, no. Don't. I mean, just no."
When your advocates don't deliver in a moment like that, you feel like you've been fooled.
And Patrick, he keeps people in the loop. Because of his challenges, he doesn't expect us to be yes, dear dummies and go along with it. It's, this is what's happening. Look for yourself. Do this for yourself. This is empowerment.
That word empowerment is interesting. For her, watching the videos makes her feel powerful. More powerful, anyway, than cutting the NRA another check.
Carolyn told me one time about this thing that happened in her neighborhood that she immediately wanted Patrick to know about.
Well, in this neighborhood, we had somebody try to steal an engine. The thief was held at gunpoint until the cops got there. Now, that to me was very responsible. He did not shoot anybody. He just said, "You're going to stay here. Don't move. I've got the police on the way." And he was taken into custody and everything was fine.
So, and you called Patrick at that time?
Yeah, I did. I called him and he actually answered the phone. I mean, not that, you know, there's no hero worship there, but I was surprised that he did because I was just going to leave a voicemail. I said, "It's okay, what's on your mind?" And I told him, and he's like, "Okay, cool." You know, so it was all very professional, very cordial. I mean, he's a decent guy.
It also strikes me as the opposite of your interaction with the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa lives in Atlanta, so it's natural for her to focus on Patrick's group, Georgia Gun Owners. Since I'm in Kansas City, I pay more attention to the door groups in Missouri and Iowa. I sent Facebook messages to a bunch of people who comment on the videos Aaron Dorr makes for the Missouri Firearms Coalition, and only one person wrote back, John Burke. We ended up talking on the phone about maybe doing an interview. He was polite, but cautious. John is in a militia group called 3%ers, and he didn't really want the interview to be about that. Also, you know, people in the gun world don't trust the media. And in some ways, that's fair. It's true that a lot of reporters don't know much about guns. They call an AR-15 assault rifle, use the word clip when they mean magazine, and for some reason, seem to think semi-automatic is an important word when talking about a handgun. It drives me crazy, too. So anyway, I told him, "It's my job to cover guns. I like hunting. I even used to be in the Army. Jumped out of airplanes and shot lots of guns. I think I can give you a fair shake." John agreed to the interview and invited me to his home near Lake of the Ozarks. Looking back, I was feeling pretty good about talking my way into this interview, but as it turned out, it wasn't really me who convinced them to do it. It was Aaron Dorr. Just for radio purposes here, can you say and spell your first and last name?
First name is John, J-O-H-N. Last name is Burke, B as in boy, U-R-K-E.
And just for clarification, is Carly going to be participating?
I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut.
Carla is John's wife. They moved from the Chicago suburbs to Missouri when they retired. They like being outdoors. They said they barely watch TV anymore, but they are big fans of Aaron Dorr. Whenever they get a Facebook notification for one of his videos.
Yep. Missouri Firearms Coalition is having a live watch party. Okay, we're on it.
Okay, everything else is on pause.
Or if they get a notification that a reporter wants to do an interview, they check with Aaron to see what he thinks. When they tell me that, I'm like, oh, really?
Yes.
Yes, because we check you out too.
Good, good.
I told you right up front, I will research, dig, and pull threads, you know.
So that was the first thing he did, and was check with Aaron.
If I did something like that with the NRA, it would never happen, you know.
Just like Carolyn Ricker in Georgia saying she's fed up with the NRA, the Burks are not happy about Wayne LaPierre and his wardrobe.
I don't think as a member of the NRA, my money is being best used by him buying a $50,000 suit.
Especially when he's using it to stab us in the back.
Yeah.
I like how every time we hear about those fancy suits, they get more expensive.
Yeah. Anyway, as we're sitting in their living room, John tells me they started to get interested in guns back in Illinois.
Illinois law is really stupid. You've got to unload it. You've got to make sure it can't fire. The ammunition has to be completely separate than the firearm. They both have to be locked in separate containers. The range is 3 blocks from our house. Why are we busting our butts doing all this work to go 3 blocks?
They just found this stuff to be really onerous, and they didn't want to deal with it anymore.
The Second Amendment is very clear. Shall not be infringed.
Period.
John and Carla tell me gun politics are a big reason they decided to retire here in Missouri. John can shoot targets off the back porch, and the neighbors don't care.
We were seriously digging into the state laws and political climate. That was a big factor
in
us choosing Missouri.
The Burks tell me again and again, they do their research. That research is how John found the Missouri Firearms Coalition.
We came across the Dorn brothers, and we really liked what they were saying. We really liked that they were in Jefferson City, physically in Jefferson City, not just firing off an email or sending a letter or something like that. They were actually on the steps of the Capitol, actually physically being in the faces of the congressmen and the politicians and talking to them.
We like that they're not just offering lip service.
Yeah.
Boots on the ground, John says. They're talking about videos like this.
Guys, I've been in the Capitol all day, talked to probably 15 or 20 lawmakers on your behalf, talking about SEPA, gun-free zone repeal, and the list of pro-gun priorities that we have this year.
Aaron is in a suit and tie under the vaulted Capitol ceiling in Jeff City. He's been making videos like this for about 5 years now.
He goes to gun shows, does rifle giveaways, posts videos people send in of their kids target practicing. This boy's 10.
Reposts of other people's footage, typically showing law-abiding gun owners saving the day, do the best. To be honest, it's rare for Aaron himself to break 10,000 views.
But this one did okay.
The bottom line is, right now, the city council here is scared. The anti-gun members of the council,
he's standing
anyway,
outside in the snow, suffering for the cause, which gets him almost as many views as that 10-year-old at the range. But it's okay, because remember, Aaron's not alone.
Howdy, folks. Chris Dorr here from Minnesota Gun Rights. I wanted to give you a quick update on Senate File 1.
This is a family business.
Hi, folks. Ben Dorr here. I'm from Northfield, Minnesota, and I'm the political director for Minnesota Gun Rights.
Working as a team makes it easier to cover more ground.
It's all working so well that they decided to launch their own national supergroup, the American Firearms Coalition. the Doors' challenge to the NRA.
Okay, this movement, this no-compromise grassroots movement, is from the bottom up, and that's a big difference between the American Firearms Coalition and the NRA and some of these other groups. You know, I think that's been a big frustration from a lot of gun owners is they don't ever know what these gun groups are doing. But we tell you all the time, we're always live on Facebook.
There are lots of gun rights groups in the U.S., some with a lot more money than the Doors. But unlike most of those groups, the brothers have mastered Facebook Live and built a following.
The Missouri Firearms Coalition has 130,000 followers on Facebook.
And in Georgia, it's nearly 425,000. It's clear the Doors and their partners are connecting with their followers.
Which, according to Mark Zuckerberg, is exactly the point of these Facebook videos.
People watch live videos longer and they comment more than 10 times as much as on regular videos. People love going live because it's so unfiltered and personal, and you feel like you're just there hanging out with your friends.
All it takes is one friend who follows the Missouri Firearms Coalition for these videos to start popping up on your newsfeed. Compare that to something like NRA TV.
The NRA ran its own online TV network for 4 years before it pulled the plug. It was filled to the gills with that same tirade vibe Patrick and Aaron are serving, except from shiny gun celebrities like Dana Loesch.
The only way we save our country and our freedom is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth.
But nobody was watching. The actual viewership was really low. I asked John and Carla Burke about NRA TV, and they're like, yeah, you know, they tried it, but they weren't into it.
And in Georgia, Carolyn Ricker told me the same thing.
You just gave me a thumbs down. So.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't actively looked for it, and I haven't seen it. So it's kind of like, I heard about it, but I don't know. I think I've seen a couple of items.
And how much did NRA TV cost to run a year, paying all those stars, production, scripts?
$20 million a year. And even with all that money, they still couldn't simulate the feeling of community that the gun guys get out of Facebook for a tiny fraction of that price tag.
Which is something Facebook did on purpose. Just like John and Carla, Facebook's algorithm values authenticity, or what looks like it.
It doesn't care about Hollywood production value. What it cares about is engagement. Comments, likes,
anything that looks like people are genuinely interacting with each other. Like P.T. Barnum said, there's no such thing as bad Facebook Live comments. The algorithm amplifies content it perceives as popular. So a Facebook Live video that gets lots of comments and shares...
Wendell says, you have become a shame and disgrace to gun owners. You need to go. Radical hatred, that's what you have. Wendell says, I have radical hatred. Well, Wendell
is more likely to be at the top of someone's newsfeed.
It's almost like the gun guys hacked the system, or better yet, used it exactly the way it was designed, just not for friendship.
For what, then? Hundreds of hours of videos, a splash of Facebook magic, familiar lineup of charismatic friends, each with their own special style, but always circling back to the same central message.
This is government control top to bottom.
They all want tyranny over your rights, your God-given right, your natural right.
As long as people are willing to sit, government's willing to control.
Stop their tyranny, to stop their government control.
Tyrannical governments control.
Tyranny.
To control.
Tyranny.
Coming up, how the Doar brothers use the threat of government tyranny to score political goals. This is On the Media. This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone, and we're back with the final part of the story about the no-compromise gun movement. At the beginning of the hour, co-hosts Chris Haxel and Lisa Hagen posed the question, what could the Second Amendment possibly have to do with the coronavirus?
And these people tore it off. So, I'm sorry.
This is a video of police officers and a group of angry moms in Idaho. It's April 2020, nearly a month into Governor Brad Little's statewide stay-at-home order. Schools are closed. Toilet paper sold out. We don't understand this coronavirus thing, and people are scared. And yet, these moms go to a playground in Meridian, Idaho, rip down some caution tape, and let their kids have at it.
The moms are basically daring police. Try to enforce the governor's order.
You're the line of enforcement on an order that, quite frankly, is unconstitutional.
Okay, that's something to take up with the mayor and the parks director.
But you're enforcing it right now.
Yeah.
That's your choice. Right?
This goes on for a few minutes until one of the cops has had enough. He starts counting down from five. One mom sees her opening, turns away from the cop, lifts her arms behind her back, and says, "Arrest me for being at the park."
Am I being arrested or detained?
She was arrested. Trespassing. The quarantine playground story makes national news.
Bingo. Just the thing you'd be going for if you happen to be, let's say, an anti-vaccination activist looking to rally opposition against this new form of medical tyranny. This woman,
am I arrested or detained?
Is Sarah Walton Brady. She runs Idahoans for Vaccine Freedom, a tiny Facebook group that shares theories about vaccinations and the pandemic.
As soon as Sarah got arrested, Door Brothers pal Greg Pruitt started live streaming.
Hey, everybody. Greg Pruitt here, president of the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance.
He told his followers she was just like any other American, frustrated with this fresh wave of government overreach.
And we're going to go down and protest the arrest of Sarah Brady in front of the Meridian City Hall.
Meanwhile, folks on Reddit quickly track down Facebook posts that suggest it was a planned stunt with a name, the Tear the Tape Down event. Sarah Walton Brady has denied this.
Everybody's got a phone. Film them, put them on the record. We call it confrontational politics. No harm intended physically whatsoever. It's simply politics.
At least for our organizations, we are steeped in the digital age and the confrontational politics model where we...
The Door Brothers and their pals are all about confrontational politics.
An ideology and a set of tactics all laid out in a book written in the 90s by H.L. Richardson.
Here's Greg in Idaho.
And so I read Confrontational Politics, and it was just like a slap in the face, yep. Like, holy cow, we are doing this wrong, folks.
It turns out the Doors don't just practice confrontational politics. They're teachers. For years, a group called Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership,
or FACL,
has held seminars across the country. Over the years, you can see Aaron and Chris Doar listed as official instructors, along with about a dozen other gun rights activists.
The way it works is people pay $40 or $50 to spend a day inside a meeting hall or hotel conference room, learning the same confrontational politics tactics the Doors use. The classes aren't really advertised outside far-right circles.
We asked if they'd let a reporter in, but never heard back. The seminars are open to the public, so I decided to just sign up like anyone else, with the understanding that if anyone asked, I would identify myself truthfully. I pulled up the FACL website and found a class scheduled the next day on the other side of Missouri near St. Louis. So the next morning, I pull into the parking lot of a church. There's a shoe propping open a door on the side of the building. So, I walk in and find a friendly, middle-aged woman sitting at one of those brown folding tables that every church seems to have.
Hi. How much is it?
It's $50 at the door.
I give her the cash, fill out some paperwork, and I'm on my way.
Thank you. And now, if you...
I slap the name tag on my shirt and scan the room. There's a PowerPoint slide on the projector that says everyone must turn off our cell phones. That's what I'm using to record, so... off it goes. Okay, so, a few hours after being told to turn off my phone, I'm free. I walk back out to the parking lot, my mind swimming in knowledge of confrontational politics. I hop in the car and call Lisa to to tell her everything I can remember while it's still fresh. The guy came out, Joe Neville, talked about how he's from Colorado and he's a former political director for the National Association of Gun Rights and also worked with Rocky Mountain gun owners.
Those are more no-compromise groups, but not the ones the Door Brothers run.
Once we got started, the instructor explained his theory on education. The idea that gun rights activists just need to educate people about how the Second Amendment isn't about hunting, it's about stopping government tyranny. This education, he says, is pointless. He brings up the example of his own uncle, Ralph, who is a gun nut, but also belongs to the Meat Cutters Union, so he always votes Democrat. And he basically is like, if I can't even convince my own family to stop voting Democrat, then I'm not going to convince other people. So, like, education is just a rabbit hole that's not worth going down.
So if you're not trying to educate people, what are you...
Confrontational politics isn't about appealing to a broad group of people. It's about leveraging voter apathy to impose your will on society. Most people don't bother to vote, especially in primaries. The instructor said only about 24% of the population really matters. And then he was like, 8% of them are going to vote Democrat no matter what. 8% of them are going to vote Republican no matter what. 2% of them are going to vote for some random party no matter what, or write-in candidate no matter what. So what's left? You got 6%.
Wow.
So really what you need is 3% plus one to win. To get your candidate or your issue, you need to find that 3% plus one, figure out where they are, figure out how to convince them to vote the way you want them to, and then you get it. And one of the biggest lessons of this class was how to know when you're getting under the skin of the legislators. It's good when they stop being nice and start ignoring you. It's even better if they start to threaten you. When this starts happening, this is when you double down. He's like, first you rejoice and then you double down. And this was when he did the call out. What, you know, he asked a question. What do you, if a politician does this, what do? Double down. If this happens and this happens, what do? Double down. Doubling down means never back down, never apologize, attack always. As long as you're smart about it. They have a tool for this called Red Fox 4. We'll get back to that in a minute.
Gun Owners of America and its offshoots have been teaching these classes for at least 20 years.
Confrontational politics is something a little different, something that people don't think about very much, especially conservatives, and it's the most...
This is Val Fennell with Gun Owners of America.
Face-to-face lobbying is virtually useless.
This footage is from 20 years ago. Looks like it's from an old camcorder, the kind parents used to film birthday parties in the 90s.
He says there are two strategies to get what you want out of politicians, and they're the same two I learned about in the class I went to. The first strategy is pleasure. Attack their enemies. Help them campaign.
The second thing the politicians will respond to, and is by far the most powerful force, is pain.
Okay? Elections are a great time to cause pain. The Doors and the gang love to brag about political graveyards come election time.
Dan Kirkbride, gone. Bill Pownell, gone. Michael Von Flatteren, gone. They are the spearhead of the anti-gun establishment here in Wyoming. Gone. They're gone. But before I...
What strikes me is this model of confrontational politics is really a blueprint for political insurgency. When you know you'll never have the majority on your side, aim lower. You can win with just 3% of the population, as long as you're dedicated. There are a lot of people in this country who love guns and support the Second Amendment. Even within that group, only a small minority supports this defiant, no-compromise position we see from the Doors. But when they follow the blueprint and get buy-in from a few people, they can accomplish a lot. When I went to the confrontational politics class, I was expecting the other attendees to be white guys, probably there to learn about guns. They were all white, but most of them were women. Soccer mom types. There for the same cause as that activist at the playground in Idaho. Medical freedom. In other words, they were anti-vaxxers.
These confrontational politics classes are happening all over the country. This group, Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership, has held about 50 this year in places like Melbourne, Florida,
Lewiston, Maine,
Big Lake, Alaska,
Glendale, Arizona. But the goal is not to make money. My class lasted all day and only cost $50, Jimmy John's lunch included.
The goal is to teach people how to build their own political organizations. After each class, attendees get a digital copy of the slides so they can spread the message too, in person or online.
Val Fennell recorded his class on a camcorder in the year 2000.
Politics, plain and simple, is the adjudication of power. Okay? It's who rules whom. Simple as that.
18 years later, we found another group learning the same lessons. White nationalists.
The goal is to change policy. And in order to change policy, you must possess power. And that's all politics is, the adjudication of power.
And power. This is a webinar from Identity Europa, or IE for short. It's a group that helped organize the infamous Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Also, consider this top secret information. We don't want this getting out to other organizations. We don't want them to understand what we're doing.
Again, the exact same slides from the class I went to. Don't bother educating people. That's a waste of time. Except his example is not about guns.
So, let's teach Nancy Pelosi about the rightness of white nationalism.
Nancy Pelosi is not their target audience. This guy points to a poll that found 8% of Americans support white nationalism. Extrapolating that number, he says 30 million Americans are open to the group's racist ideas. Math is a little off, but the point still stands.
He brings up Red Fox 4. We said we'd explain it, and here you go. Pretty cool name, but it's basically just a tool for cost-benefit analysis.
So, here's an example. Creation of the ethnostate.
He explains how Red Fox 4 works, weighing the pros and cons of overt messaging about the creation of a white ethnostate. He says ideally it would happen, but it's best to hold off. The message is too extreme for now.
Instead, he says they should focus on something more subtle, immigration. Now, like we said, this was an unofficial webinar, but we know at least some racists have attended FACL classes in person. One's taught by Aaron Dorr.
At the same time, I still don't think you should have multiracial children.
This is Matt Forney. He's a blogger, professional troll, and key figure in the formation of the alt-right. And he writes a lot of racist, sexist garbage on the internet. After attending a FACL class in 2016, he wrote this on his blog.
Our instructor was Aaron Dorr, the founder of Iowa Gun Owners, which bills itself as Iowa's only no-compromise gun lobby. I can't write about the content of the class itself because FACL doesn't want leftists getting a hold of its secrets. Indeed, Dorr had us shut off our phones while he was lecturing. But suffice it to say that they have the goods when it comes to political operations.
Okay, there's one more quick lesson from confrontational politics. Something that didn't make sense when we first started watching the Doors and their friends. One day, they say politicians can't be trusted. They're the enemy. But the next day, you see Aaron Dorr or Patrick Parsons live streaming with a lawmaker.
Well, it turns out this paradox is built into the confrontational politics model. See, you gotta have at least one legislator on your side. Someone to introduce bills for you and make videos that show how hard you've been working in the state house. These people get a special label, champions.
So
We can give you guys the chapter and verse on how many scuzzy politicians there are, but there's also some champions, some absolute champion lawmakers out there, and we're proud to be very good friends with the best lawmakers in a number of states, and I know we're going to have...
The Doors and their friends do this everywhere, and remember, they started a national group, the American Firearms Coalition. When we were first reporting this story in 2020, we noticed that the Door brothers found a champion who would trumpet their message on a national stage.
They found her right here in Georgia, where I'm based.
I'm running to stop gun control. Open borders. The Green New Deal. And socialism.
Back in the fall of 2020, when we released this podcast, Marjorie Taylor Greene was running for elected office. Her campaign ads sounded a lot like the Doar Brothers live videos.
They destroyed the NFL, they're destroying NASCAR, they're burning our cities and destroying our history.
Which might be because, surprise, the Doar Brothers partner, Patrick Parsons, worked closely with her campaign. Aaron's pitched in too. Marjorie Taylor Greene showed up at events with dudes dressed in tactical gear and sporting 3% militia patches. Just weeks before the 2020 election, I caught up with her at a press conference and asked her about Patrick Parsons.
What's your relationship with Georgia gun owners and Patrick Parsons?
Oh, I'm a lifelong member of Georgia gun owners, and Patrick Parsons, he's been a good friend of mine.
I tried one more question about Patrick raising tens of thousands of dollars off a North Carolina Facebook page.
Thanks for coming out.
Do you care about that? Care about America. Care about freedom. Care about life.
Their campaign supporters surrounded us.
Care about our nation. Care about its people. Care about our history. Care about our heritage.
And of course, Greene won her election. And the No Compromise crew stayed close. Greene chose Patrick Parsons to be her chief of staff. But in September, Parsons left Greene's side. He told her he's off to cultivate more America First political candidates.
Here's the thing. In all our many hours of watching gun video after gun video, we've never seen the Doar brothers or their partners tricked out in tactical gear and loaded for bear. That's not what they do. It's not their lane. They're the mouthpieces and administrators of a philosophy. They're policy nerds. They take chaotic current events and run the details through a particular framework. The tyrannical government is coming for your guns, for your rights, and your families.
This is a fight for our freedom. This is a fight for our life. This is no time to be super respectful and Mr. Nice Guy. We need to kill these people. Politically speaking, for the love of God, in case you're totally tone deaf right now, these people need to be destroyed.
When we first started reporting this story, we had no idea it would end up about anything other than just gun policy. But these loud, long Facebook videos about tyranny took us to a lot of other issues. Dismantling public education, anti-vaxxers, the Aryan Nations, anti-abortion activism, homophobia, militias, well, militias maybe we figured, and, of course, downplaying the dangers of a pandemic.
Y'all see that? Oh, how wonderful! Wonderful. Defiance of tyranny is so alive and well in the great Keystone State.
We started at an anti-quarantine protest in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And we got to know the Doors.
But I know how many times in the last couple of days I've been asked by media outlets, well, don't you guys do guns? Like, what's your big deal on this coronavirus issue? Why don't you stay in your lane? And I have had so much enjoyment telling media outlets all across the country that, you know, our lane is freedom. We just don't give a dang.
Then some news. The virus found its way to the Doar family. Northwest Iowa was facing a spike in COVID-19 cases, and the Doar brothers' grandfather died. He was a farmer. Ben Doar posted a heartfelt goodbye on Facebook. Didn't say what the cause was.
It was COVID. He talked to some other relatives who confirmed it. And there's more. They say the Doar brothers' mom tested positive too. Had to go to the hospital. Their dad, Paul Doar, also got the virus. Doar family members tell us they got really sick. We're sorry to hear it. It's been a hard year for just about everyone.
No Compromise is hosted by Chris Haxel and Lisa Hagen, produced by Graham Smith and edited by Robert Little, and is a production of NPR, KCUR, WABE, and WAMU. To listen to all six episodes, and you should, go to npr.org or wherever you get your podcasts. On the Media's executive producer, Katya Rogers, edited this show. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Brooke Gladstone.